The programs have been going on since basically the beginning of the Libya crisis, as people began to flood across the borders into Egypt and Tunisia. And it's been going on since then and has continued, and we're projecting that it will be going on at least until the end of August, if not longer, but at the moment we've extended it to the end of August. We've so far fed 500,000 people in Libya, as well as many people who have gone across the borders into Tunisia and Egypt. It's quite a large program helping people both inside and outside of the country.
You say they're the people who are most vulnerable. Who are they?
Well, in fact, inside Libya, almost the entire population now is vulnerable. There's an active conflict going on, and we're very concerned about access to food inside Libya. Many people may not know that the population of 6.5 million relies heavily on imports of food. Up to 75% of the food that is consumed in Libya is imported, and that means with an active conflict going on, all of the supply lines for regular commercial trade have been disrupted. Also, fuel prices are very high. Fuel is hard to get, so it's difficult for people to transport food into the regular market. So this has made large portions of the community vulnerable. We are very much obviously trying to reach those who are the most vulnerable, families with young children, the elderly, hospitals, and other public structures that we can help to reach the people who need it, need the help the most.
Have refugee camps been set up inside Libya at all? I mean, where are the people fleeing to?
Well, inside Libya, we're working together with the Libyan Red Crescent to distribute food. And so the Red Crescent is using those channels to distribute food directly to families, as well as through hospital structures, schools, and the like. Inside of Libya, I don't know that there are large encampments of people who have fled areas per se. The larger encampments that we've been providing food for have been for those migrant workers and other workers who have, and Libyans who have left Libya, either across the Egyptian border or the Tunisian border. And in addition, many of those workers were supporting their families back home. And so we're also helping them because they have no longer any income in order to support their families. So the encampments are more on the borders than inside.
Now, you were saying earlier that your operation will be in operation, if I can say that, until at least the end of August. What's going to happen after that?
Well, I think this is a rolling emergency that the entire humanitarian community is keeping a very close eye on and is continuing to assess as goes along. So as we have extended our emergency operation into the end of August, the cost of that operation is $100 million. But as the situation progresses, obviously it will continue to be assessed and, if need be, continued. This isn't just something that the World Food Program is doing, but obviously all humanitarian organizations involved in the assistance to the population of Libya are involved in the process of providing that humanitarian relief for as long as it's needed. It's our job to be there to help the people for as long as they need us, and we're going to hopefully try to do that.
The emergency operation, I read on your press release, has received only a quarter of the funds it needs. Where do those funds come from?
Generally, we receive funds from government donors, so we receive funds from European governments. We received funds from all over the world. Generally, that's the source of our funding.
Emilia, you yourself were saying that it's a concerted effort, but I understand that the WFP is actually the lead agency for the provision of logistics and telecommunications services to the entire humanitarian community there. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. We do this in most every emergency. The humanitarian community operates on a system of clusters in which different agencies help to coordinate the work in different segments of humanitarian assistance. So the World Food Program has an expertise in logistics and in telecommunications, and when an emergency occurs, our teams go in to coordinate the movement of supplies and also to set up the telecoms and also the information technology, the computer systems that help run the entire operation.
Are you satisfied with the way your emergency operation is being conducted?
it's never easy to run an emergency operation in a situation where there's an active conflict going on. And so we'll be satisfied when we can reach all the people who need help and when the emergency is over and when we can go out and continue on perhaps and help people in other locations, other places. But so in as much as we've reached 500,000 people inside of Libya and we've managed to open up supply lines into the east of the country and into the west of the country, that we're moving food in a regular basis also through the port of Misrata, where we are pleased that we've been able to reach the people. But it's a very difficult job, which is in a very volatile situation. Sometimes we can't reach the people we need due to insecurity. So you can never be 100% satisfied, basically, until the problem is resolved.
Yes, it must be dangerous for you people as well.
Well, it certainly is a situation where humanitarian workers are very, very dedicated. Our staff has been working around the clock, and we're talking about everybody from nutritionists to truck drivers to logistics and planning staff. These are people who are very dedicated. Those who are on the ground, indeed, in many cases are in situations that are quite volatile and quite difficult, and definitely my hat goes off to them for the work they do. I'm impressed with the people I work with, I must say.
What feelings, what impressions do you get from them who are on the ground? What do they say about the conflict?
Well, they're also very touched by the dedication of people on the ground. You know, we don't all come in just as foreigners into any emergency. The vast majority of humanitarian workers come from the countries that they work in. And so we're working alongside many, many Libyans, both in the East and the West, who are dedicated to one thing, and that's to helping vulnerable people who need food, who need water, who need medicine. We work together with the Libyan Red Crescent, and they are a neutral body that has a mandate, just as we do, to help people in need. And they are around the clock working in conditions that can be often quite perilous. And they are an extremely dedicated group of people. Everyone wants that the conflict would ultimately be resolved so that people can have all of the services that they need and go back to a normal life.
I'm going to ask you a silly question, Emilia. When we talk about food assistance, what kind of food do you actually get over there?
Well, the normal monthly ration is a dry ration that we give out. It's not cooked food. We are giving usually a ration that consists of a certain amount of pulses that would be lentils or other beans. There will be some sort of cereal-based product involved, be it wheat flour in this case. We also include a cooking oil in the ration. Often there are also high nutrition products. We've given out date bars in this case that are fortified with extra nutrients, and these are ready-to-eat foods that can be given very easily to children and don't need to be cooked. So those are the basics that go into a ration. Very much wheat flour, date bars, lentils and beans are a big staple of the ration.
I imagine that according to the different country and different culture you go into, your ration changes a little bit to meet maybe the tastes of the people there.
That's true. In some parts of the world, rather than wheat flour, we give rice. In many parts of the world, we give maize. In some parts of other areas of Africa, we are giving out sorghum or millet. We try very much to correspond to what the local needs are. Also, you know, we purchase a great amount of the food that we are giving out on local markets. And we do that to help to stimulate the local agricultural production, as well as to provide food that is more acceptable to the population and also is less expensive because it doesn't involve transporting it long distances.